Hey, friends. There's a few dates in particular coming up, which I'd like to see as many 12 and a half as possible in the next few months. March 15th and 16th, I'll be headlining Laughs Unlimited in Sacramento. April 5th, I'll be at the Last Best Comedy Club in Bozeman, Montana. I'd love it if we could get some 12 and a half in the crowd for those particular dates. And the first week of May, I'll be at the MGM in Las Vegas. Be fun to party with you there. TJ will be in Syracuse February 16th and 17th. Raleigh, North Carolina, the Improv, March 8th and 9th. And if you want more details about his dates, go to tjmillerdoesnothaveawebsite.com. And enjoy the show. Thanks for listening.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
Answering the questions you don't have. Deep conversations in the shallow end. Two men with lots of ideas and less than an hour. Intelligent-ish. This is Cashing In with TJ Miller.
Welcome to Cashing In with TJ.
Oh, boy.
TJ Miller.
It's TJ Miller. Sorry, I know I haven't been a guest on the show very many times.
I'm starting it over.
TJ Miller.
No.
You gotta do it.
Jesus.
You're such a pussy.
You guys are so difficult.
It's
my show.
It is your show.
I finally have my favorite guest.
I know.
I finally have my favorite guest on.
I apologize. But I am saying it's TJ Miller.
There's never any two takes.
TJ Miller. TJ Miller.
I'm Cash Levy. I'm the one that's been fucking up the intro.
Cash Levy.
We have you so rarely.
It's lovely to be on your show.
Makes me nervous when you're on the show.
Cashing in.
We're going to ask all the essential questions, and even if they've never been asked, we're going to answer them.
Right.
And we're going to start off with the triple banger lightning round.
Triple banger lightning round.
Triple banger lightning round. Sponsored by Prell.
Prell.
Ironic
when
mustache.
When your hands are dirty morally, clean them physically with Purell.
I actually said Prell.
Prell.
That's a hair product.
Prell. Where's my ashtray? Mama wants to smoke some boots. Also, I want to say this. Last episode, I think, was you said, you challenged me when I said that a pig is the smartest animal that we eat, and it was. It was number six. We didn't get through it. A pig is the smartest animal that we eat because we don't eat dolphins. We don't eat chimps, and we sure as hell don't eat crow unless we're Cash Levy, who said that TJ was wrong.
That's right. That's right. I don't know why you had to go into country western accent to tell us that.
I'm going to prove a point.
I'm going to start off with the triple banger lightning round, if you'll let me. Here we go. Ironic mustache, pro or con?
Con. I think you can have a funny mustache, but it shouldn't be like, oh, what if I had this mustache? It should be like, I'm wearing the silliest mustache of all because I like to be ridiculous.
Yeah. Now, I think I'm pro.
You're pro?
Pro ironic mustache. It's funny.
I'm con.
It's a billboard to comedy on your face.
This mustache says, I'm a lot of fun.
I think if you're going to play with your facial hair, I think that makes you a character. I like it. I do. What SPF do you reach for?
I go 30. I don't think there's any reason for the 70 sunblock. I think women that are like, I have to put on 70. SPF 70. I burn so easily. Chill out. Okay, grandma?
Yeah, I don't think you should go in the sun if you're going to have to go that far.
Yeah, but I think 30 is important. It's not good. I also like pale skin. I like a woman to have milky, Aryan skin.
I pulled out a shirt from the bottle. SPF 120. Folks, ladies, take a break. Fellas, you know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about.
Ladies, take a break. I love
it. Ladies, take a break. Fellas, sit up front and watch me work. Here we go.
When I laugh like a cackling old woman who's about to kill a cat. That's what I sound like.
And if you're listening while you're driving, pull over. Can a guy be tough and be able to reupholster furniture?
Yes. I think I know a guy who he would rebuild guns, cars, and he would reupholster furniture.
Really?
Yeah, unfortunately, yes.
Yeah.
A handyman is handy. Yeah. And he's a man.
I would say, in theory, no.
You think no. You think if somebody... I will say this. If
the
somebody,
percentages are against you.
If you ask somebody what they do for a hobby and they lead with reupholstering furniture, you can kick that
person's
ass.
It's got to be a secondary hobby. Can't be number one.
Got to be what you say after you say cars and guns.
What about Civil War reenactor?
Oh, yeah.
You can be a man.
Tough, yeah.
Yeah, you can be a man. Phil Collins is into that.
Ugh.
It's weird.
Weird.
Yeah. Where were you?
Wait, so that was the triple banger.
That was a triple banger lightning round brought to you by Prell.
Prell!
Where were you, TJ?
I just came from, I was in a bar, you know.
Shocking.
This is the most recent bar that I went to. I wanted to talk about it. It's called The Spotlight. And it's a gay bar in Hollywood a couple blocks from my house that opens at 6 a.m. Because in Los Angeles, you can't have 24-hour alcohol. Bars close at 2, but they can open at 6 a.m. And I will say, some of the most interesting people watching goes on at 6 a.m. on a weekday at a bar.
Yeah, I mean,
what's going on? It's people getting off work.
Yeah,
at 5 or 30.
What kind of drink specials do you get at 6 a.m.? Do they try to move some?
They've got early bird catches the worm specials. 6 a.m. Bloody Marys are 20 cents.
Mm-hmm. And then what was your excuse for being there?
Nickel shots. My excuse for being there was, this was recently, I worked, we do splits sometimes, and I worked on a show called The League. And we worked until 4:30. No, well, I got off at 4:30, but I was heading home at 5 from the Valley. And by the time I got back to where I was, it was like, you know, 4:45. I was like, I'll go have a beer at the Spotlight and see how weird it is there. It's 15 minutes till it opens, and there are people waiting outside for when it opens.
I was talking to Matt about this. You're a guy that, you know, one of the keys to your success, you don't seem to ever need to sleep. I mean, you're constantly going.
I do. I definitely need to sleep more, but yeah, I'm not a guy. I'm so excited about so many things that I'm not a guy that gets tired a lot. I don't go,
yeah, and usually that usually precedes sleep, the tiredness. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. So you were at a bar. I was in Los Angeles for about a week, and I tried something. I was telling you about it. Went hand gliding.
Yeah. That's right, because I've never been hang gliding, I've never been parachuting, but I've been bungee jumping. Have you been bungee jumping?
Yes, I have.
Okay, yeah. So you've done it all.
I've done it. I've gone skydiving.
Cliff diving?
No, well, into some water, you know, jumped into some water, but I don't know if you'd call it cliff diving. Cliff jumping. As it were. This was hand gliding. Our hand gliding teacher was much older. He's been doing it for about 30 years. He was telling us... all the great old days, like, yeah, back in the old days, back in the 70s, the hang gliders, you know, we used to wear, swimsuits and girls wear bikinis. You know, he was really like remembering the great olden days, like in the 70s. And then a lot of people died. And that kind of hurt the sport. And, but he was real proud of hand gliding. He loved it, you know, and he was like, I said, what about skydiving? He's like, my dream was never to fall. My dream was to fly.
Wow.
Yeah, he said that. So he's a real quite a proponent of hand gliding. And I was thinking, you know, there were problems. He claims it's much safer now. But I think maybe people are still dying, and they're just covering up those deaths because they want to make sure the sport grows.
Some sort of weird hang gliding mafia?
Yeah. Or perhaps... no one was dying even in the 70s.
Right.
They tried to give the sport some street credibility, and they killed some hang gliders to make it look tough and
rugged.
They killed too many.
Yeah.
They went too far.
It could be either of those.
Those are always weird.
I mean, in skydiving, you know, most people don't die from skydiving. It's still weird to jump out of something and be like, well, I might die, but hopefully not, according to... popular belief, you know, it's pretty crazy.
Yeah, yeah. So
there's a thing called Zumba or something, or what's it called? It's something with a Z, and it's in New Zealand, and you get in it, and it's a giant ball that's filled with water and rolls down a really huge mountain.
Really?
And you're in the middle of it strapped in, or you can do it loose and you're just spinning in the ball. It's crazy. I did it. It's great.
You did that?
I did it with my sister, and we laughed the whole way.
Were you
way.
In the same ball with your
yeah,
sister?
Yeah, you can be in the same ball
Was that
as somebody
weird?
Else. You know, it got a little weird. We didn't have the baby, obviously.
You know, in Europe, I mean, they have water sliding competitions in Europe also.
Which is weird. I feel like they always, everybody goes, well, that first happened in Europe. That was popular over in Europe. I heard that song when it was in Europe.
Everything started in Europe.
Here's the thing. Europe starts a lot of stupid shit that never makes it over here. Nobody's talking about that.
Like the band Europe.
Is that a real band?
Yeah.
Okay.
Didn't they play the final countdown?
On the other hand, I'm a huge fan of the band America.
Yeah, or Kansas.
Kansas is a great band,
yeah.
too.
Chicago.
Mm.
Boston.
Mm. Detroit.
Detroit. Mm. Tasty.
Mm. Pueblo, Colorado. Yeah. Remember that band?
Remember Boise? Good band.
Boise.
Yeah.
Boise do I.
So I went hang gliding. Matt just got me something that said that in the UK, there's one death per 116,000 flights. It's a risk comparable to running a marathon or playing football for a year. Now, I would think if you played football for a full year, you'd get tired and you'd probably die anyway. Right?
Just
a lot of people stop
non-stop.
And start, you know, they stop and start. But
all right. So, yes.
Yeah. So anyway, I did all that. Right. That's where I was. Let's move on to the essential questions of human nature.
This is a good one. OK.
These are the things that people are wondering about. And the first one you brought up right before the show. I mean, could you date a girl that has shoes that are worth more than $1,000?
Right. And it's, you know, maybe it's not even that she has them specifically. Can you date a girl who will spend $1,000 on shoes? Where's your head at if you're, you know? And I say no. Yeah, probably not. The circumstances would have to be really, really specific where she loved these shoes and they were done by a designer that was an artist and she'd always wanted them. It would have to be all these caveats and you're just saying no. You're already shaking
your
head.
No, it's impossible. It's impossible. And I don't care if you're a multi-millionaire. You have to know that that's too frivolous to fall in love with someone like that. You know?
So you've got a hard line on it.
Yeah.
You're saying no way.
You have a soft cap on your penis, sounds like.
I do. I've dated.
It's almost like a toothpaste cap on your penis.
I've dated girls that can afford $1,000 shoes, and they don't buy them. And that's more attractive than whatever they would look like in the $1,000 shoes. So I think that's my answer, is it's more attractive to me if you're not willing to spend that money than it is than how you look in those or feel in those shoes.
Yeah, and we talked about this with the gum throwing out the window incident. Yeah. There's certain little things that you see someone do that you can't accept.
Yeah, like, but usually
would you date
it's a chicken
a girl,
and egg thing because... Go ahead.
Would you date a girl whose favorite movie is Weekend at Bernie's 2?
Mm-mm. I broke up with a girl soon after she told me that her favorite movie was Clerks 2. I don't even think she said favorite movie. She said Clerks 2 is the funniest movie
right.
I've ever seen.
Right.
And I, you know what? And I, she was such a great girl, really funny, really fun. But that she said that, you can't be in a room with someone and say, this is, I'm TJ, and this is my girlfriend, and her, in her opinion, in her strong opinion, this is in sort of a flight of whimsy for her. She believes in her heart that Clerks 2 is the funniest. Clerks 2, the sequel, is the funniest.
Clerks Part 2.
The funniest film. Read 2. Funniest film ever made.
Yeah.
You can't do that.
Can't do it.
You don't want to live that life.
Yeah. That's the Weekend at Bernie analogy. Here's another one. Yeah. I broke up with a girl. She thought the most romantic song, romantic, that's the word she used. Mm-hmm. Was Bob Seger's Night Moves. It came on and she goes, this is my favorite song. It's so romantic. Romantic. Are you listening
you're
to
like,
lyrics?
Listen, lady, Seger's to fuck to.
Did you?
And you just jumped out the window.
That's exactly what I did.
Seger's to fuck to.
Seger's to fuck to.
She's like, why would he do that?
Yeah.
I'll jump back and say, on the movie topic, I can't be great friends with you I can't even really be friends with you if you say... Here's what it is. I can't be great friends with you if your favorite movie is The Big Lebowski. But I can't be friends with you at all if you say that your favorite movie is The Big Lebowski and you talk about it like at least once a week.
Now you, but you,
that is a person that I don't want to be around. And I don't hate The Big Lebowski, but I find that like Dolly posters and liberal arts colleges, you know, they just, it becomes this sort of badge of, I like cool stuff, right? No. Just like guys who don't wear watches, and they're like,
yeah. Well, Matt and I were talking about this actually walking over here. Could you be friends with someone that liked the movie Crash?
Yeah.
I think it's a questionable. It's really.
I think there's really Crash. Cheesy. Crash is much more in a gray area.
You think so?
Yeah. If somebody, and also you're saying liked the movie. Lots of people. I like a lot of movies that aren't great because they're fine. You know.
Okay, I'll give you that.
Is this? I can feel that we're no longer friends.
No, I feel like this is the final.
I can feel like it.
Final podcast. Yeah, well, like Europe would say, the final countdown. You're talking about watches. You seem to be pro watch.
I wear a watch.
You're late a lot, by the way. I don't know what
That's
the
true.
Watch does to make people feel better about
That's
that.
That's true, too.
I don't know if that feels like a good consolation. Well, at least he's wearing a watch, but you're late all the time. It doesn't bother me. I love you.
All I'm saying is,
I love what you do, but
with the punctuality thing, that's a bigger.
You're busy. That's why you're late.
No, that's just a bigger conversation. But I'm saying you don't wear a watch. Matt doesn't wear a watch. Why don't you guys wear watches?
Phone.
So he's got his phone now. I will say, since cell phones, it makes. But I remember growing up, the father across the street from my family didn't wear a watch. He was a stockbroker. Mr. Reginelli. And he didn't have a watch. And my father just didn't understand that. And I couldn't really understand either. Why would he not want to know what time it was? There were no cell phones then.
Yeah, but how often do you need to know what time it is? You don't need to know that often.
All the time. I'm always late. I'm constantly looking at my watch going, I got to get out of here.
Well, that's proof it's not working. So you should take the watch off and see what happens.
I took the watch off one time. I was lost in Borneo. Do you know that island?
Yeah.
I was lost there for 3 weeks. You know why?
Why?
Because I thought I had plenty of time.
Yeah, you thought. So you just kinda...
I thought I didn't have to be anywhere for a week.
Yeah, yeah. I think that I'm upset about the way people treat time. I don't think there should be a daylight savings time either. I think it's ludicrous. It's set up for
why? Why
is
it
set up
that.
For? It's like set up for. It's set up for like it's farmers a, or something? What is it set up for?
Is that a dildo?
Oh, someone's calling. Someone's calling.
It's fine. It's our one caller. Quickly, grab it.
That's my wife.
Missed it. Missed the one caller. We always have one caller. Yeah, daylight savings time, that started for food, for agriculture, right?
It doesn't make any sense.
There's got to be a reason for it. Matt, can you look that up?
It was trained.
See, why? Just to ask the internet.
I think each person should have their own time, their own personal time. I don't think we should all have to be on the same time. It's communism.
Here's an interesting thing.
It's socialism.
There are some cultures that don't have time. They say, I'll meet you around this time, and they go and they wait, and that's all it is. Yeah, think how different our realities would be if we didn't have to be places all the time. Every day, you have to be somewhere at a certain time, all day long. That's how we meet each other and communicate.
You think we're more efficient that way?
No.
By having it on your arm.
I think it helps. I mean, I am so, obviously bored by this conversation, but I think it helps. Yeah. Cash, I think it helps. Sorry if I'm being rude.
Well, we're going to move on to practical living in the modern age, which could really solve some of these problems.
This is an opportunity for us to try and give you maybe some secrets that we have, some insider tips at just making life a little mess. Less of a mess.
Yeah, and you have one about going to the airport.
Well, I discovered recently that if there's a long line for security, try and find an elevator to get through security, because they have to, by law, the TSA has to have somebody where the handicap accessible people are coming in. And, you know, regular people who can walk, the people who don't have any disabilities, never go that route. So you can do that. Another one is, if you're ever late and you don't think you make it through security, just find an agent and ask. So many people, oh, I missed my flight, security was so long. Go to the agent and say you have to get through immediately. They'll have you cut in line.
Now, this is happening to you because you're late. You're late. That's why this is happening. And you have a watch.
No. Lots of times I just don't want to wait in security. I'll get over and I'll go to the airline club. You know, I'll have a Bloody Mary, 6 a.m. usually. It's called the Spotlight Room. Ladies, you looking for some early morning man? Head on over to the Spotlight, where everyone's gay except for TJ, and no one can figure out why he's there.
Yeah, a little more practical living in the modern age.
Yeah.
I like to be picked up at the top shelf. I don't think there's any reason to get picked up at the baggage area.
I love that you call it top shelf.
Yeah, top shelf.
Sounds cooler than what it is.
It's outside. It's outside. It's comfortable out there. You're not competing with other people. Get picked up at the top shelf. And also never check bags, ever.
I always check
bags.
There's
no way you could need that stuff. There's no way you could ever need it.
I am so sick of getting... No, I check bags. I don't like carrying around a bag and the whole thing. It's a lot. It's a lot of trudging. You know, I don't need to be trudging around all day. It makes you sad. So I check my bag.
There's too many times when the
and
flight
I,
changes.
And I become a happy dad.
There's too many times when the flight
you know,
changes and you need.
I don't know. And I, you know, when I travel with a toothbrush on me. You know, I balance it on my head. Put it in my nose.
So you always have a toothbrush handy, and then you just check stuff. And what out of that stuff, probably half of it you don't use every trip, at least.
No, I use all of it because you know me. I change pants once every 2 hours.
Yeah.
Because I don't like the feeling of unclean pants on my legs. You know, post hour and a half unclean. Mm-hmm. Obviously, as soon as you put the pants on, they're becoming dirty from the inside, from the bacteria that's on your legs. Even though you scrape and scrape with a loofah, there's always going to be bacteria on your legs. It's part of why I hate being alive.
When you want to sleep on the plane, this is something new I've been doing. It does create some controversy, but I lie on the ground. You have to be shorter. I'm not very tall. I lie on the ground. I face forward. I create a cocoon where I put a blanket over my head. So that I'm separated from everybody. And I'm actually putting my hands or my arms are on the seat. My knees are on the floor. So I'm in sort of the, I guess, what would that be?
That's called the slumping man's game.
The slumping man position.
That position is called the slumping man's game.
Yeah. The slumping man's game.
Is the name of that position.
Yeah. It's the name for a book, too.
Mm-hmm.
Slumping man's game.
And it's soon to be a board game from Milton Bradley.
But that's a great way to get through a flight. It's better on your back. No one will bother you.
When I sleep on a plane, when I sleep in general, my mouth is open. Mm-hmm. I'm sort of breathing through my mouth. That's terrible. I always feel like the people next to me put little things in my mouth or put their finger or maybe their penis if it's a flight where there's not a lot of people.
And it's sort of a risque thing to do on a flight, but, you know.
Well, it's dangerous because if I wake up, I might ask them to, you know, be in a relationship. Just kidding. You come off me on the podcast, I come off just truly homosexual in a true and real way. Not making fun of it, just like genuinely a homosexual man.
Yeah, it's kind of a misrepresentation, this podcast, of who we really are.
That's okay. In real life, I am a drag queen from the Bronx. And Cash is a Big Brother Big Sister coordinator at the YMCWA.
That's right. That's right. So create a cocoon on the airplane. That's what we've learned.
Also, when you say cocoon, say it like Cash does. Cocoon.
Cocoon.
Create a cocoon.
We're never going to get old. Never going to die.
That's from the film Cocoon.
Yes. One of my favorites. We're going to move on to tiny opinions. And
I got so many little ones. That's what I always say when this section comes
little
around.
Little itsy-bitsy opinions. Yep. I'm going to start it off by just saying I got upset on my last trip. People... Don't you think it should be legal just once a year to punch people in the face? Wouldn't that be great? You know, the police would come. I'd go get my punch card right here. You can see it's totally valid.
That's so true. But here's the thing. Then when do you get to use those punches? Are you allowed to punch people that are younger than you?
I think a lot of people...
Can you punch a kid?
I think a lot of people get out of line because they know they're not going to get punched. I think the society might be a little too safe for people to spell.
You know what would be nice? This is a crazy idea, but I'm going to throw it out there. It would be nice if everybody had a camera that was recording everything, all their interactions from, you know, like in their hat or something. And then you could submit footage to a judge about whether or not you'd be allowed to punch someone in the face. And if they found you guilty, then they could punch you in the face. People would be a lot nicer to each other. I think that's what you're saying.
But yeah.
I'm trying to put it
absolutely.
In a real way.
You're trying to add a technological element to making it happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One day, if we all give up our rights, they'll videotape everything, and then it will be really hard to be a criminal. Because if there is video footage of everything that happens, how are you going to lie anymore?
It's a good point. Good point. That's
And lawyers will be robot dogs that are both fun and cute, but also represent you legally in the hyper court of law, which is what we'll call the court of law that only exists on the internets through hyperlinks.
TJ, tiny opinions.
Well, I talked to you earlier about the Big Lebowski thing.
Yeah.
You know, I think a lot of different, you know, a lot of people, I think what I've decided is that if you won't stop talking about something, then I don't want to talk to you. And I don't mean one thing. If you're the type of person who just can't stop, some people say it about themselves.
Did I tell you about my hang gliding story?
Some people do about themselves. They go, I can't stop talking about this new Nutri-Grain bar. It's so good. It tastes just like apple cinnamon. I can't stop talking about it. Well, then don't talk to me. That's real.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm so sick of it. People also, you know, I used to have a joke about this in my stand-up comedy routine act.
You're some of your skits and sketches.
They're spoofs.
Yeah.
They're spoofy goofs. Spooky goofs in October, if you know what I mean. Ladies, take a break. Fellas, you know what I mean.
Fellas, you know what I'm talking about.
Fellas. There was a woman I used to work with that she would go, oh, I can't stop eating these chocolate-covered cherries. They're going to be the death of me. I can't stop eating these chocolate-covered cherries. Well, then do stop talking to me about them. If you can't stop eating them, truly, you need a doctor. You need to go. You need to call the police.
I also think people brag about the wrong things. That's another tiny opinion.
Yeah.
I'm tired of people bragging about stuff. Like what kind of gas mileage they get on their car.
Yeah, your MPG.
Can't ever be interesting. You can't make that interesting. It's not possible. Okay, I don't care how many cylinders are inside your car.
Everybody wants to show everybody else that they're living life the best possible way. That's what most conversations are. Hey, did you see how much I spent on this car that I chose? Comparative to how much money I had coming in from my income and everything. But also, I'm a good person because I care about the environment. So, pretty good MPGs on this thing.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. I know what I'm doing in terms of living. But that's just everybody scared because no one knows how to live correctly or in the best way. And everybody's going to die. And so everyone's like, well, in the meantime, do you see my home theater? Yeah, we just had the speakers are surround sound, but it's a 5-point system. So you really do. It's like being in the theater. Now, of course, all this will erode and fade far after I've ceased existing. And it will mean nothing then. But in the meantime, look over here. We have fun sized Snickers in a bowl to make you think you're at the theater. I'm a sad man.
We're distracting ourselves from the truth that we're going to be gone.
Yeah.
Yeah. But in the meantime, we have fun sometimes, like Halloween. And you mentioned Halloween. I think there's another thing, another tiny opinion. I think people are pissing away Halloween. It's a very romantic holiday. All the women are dressed up, you know, accordingly.
That Halloween costumes on women, which are slutty, is romantic is a lot like
very
saying...
Romantic.
It's not like saying a certain song is romantic.
What I'm... that move.
not moving the way home.
Listen.
How do you not piss away Halloween?
Here's what I'm saying. That's the one out of the year where a guy can look good, for sure. Yeah. I don't care if he's going bald like myself. He can wear a wig. Maybe
he can be Uncle Fester.
Maybe he's not very well. You know. He can wear like a cod piece if he wants to. He can really accentuate any of his weaknesses. There's a one night where everyone's
tiny
equal.
Shoulders. You can wear
everyone's
shoulder
yeah. Everyone's equal. Whatever your weakness is physically, you can make up for it. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And last year saw a guy dressed as a pickle.
What?
I said he was dressed as a pickle.
Hold on.
Women have
what the fuck?
He had a dressed as a pickle.
You're not gonna
he had
say,
a pickle on his head.
I do want to say this. You did. You said, guy dressed like a pickle. That's like that moment when you say something to a group of people and you expect them to be like, no. And then nobody says anything. So that you just go, a pickle. Like, a goddamn pickle.
Fellas, you with me on this?
Yeah.
Let me hear you.
Ladies, take a break.
Fellas, let me tell you.
Yeah,
now, listen, dress as a pickle. Now, listen, all I'm saying is you're pissing away the holiday, this most precious holiday. Women of signs are in the next thing, hit on me. You have a pickle on your head. You're cock-blocking yourself.
Too true.
I saw some computer programmers dressed as a nerd.
That pickle's not going to get a tickle.
That's right. No tickle for that pickle.
Right.
Yeah, that's what the
computer programmer you saw dressed as a nerd.
Yeah, they, you know,
why would you are a nerd.
Dress, right. You are a nerd. You why would you dress as a nerd? So anyway, if any advice for the people here, I know it's in tiny opinions. It should be keys to better living. You got to dress up, right? You got to dress up to get some action.
You got to go for my friend Nick Vatterott, who is a hilarious comedian and great on Twitter at Nick Vatterott, VATTEROTT. But the kid has a great story he tells on stage where he, you know, he said everybody dressed up sexy nurse, sexy kittens. Yeah. So he dressed up as sexy toilet and he put a toilet seat over his head and he made a little bow tie for the bottom of the toilet seat. And he wore Chippendales cuffs and he was sort of like a sexy swinging toilet. And he came in the first party. He thought it was genius. He comes in the first party and he's like, yeah, I'm the best, right? And immediately he gets recognition. Somebody says, oh my God, look at this costume. This guy's great. And Nick's like, yeah, yeah, it is great, isn't it? He goes, yeah, look at this guy, everybody. He's a shithead. And he goes, no, it was sexy toilet. But it's true. His head was through a toilet seat.
Yeah.
He's a shithead.
And he's not going to get any action that way.
You got to really pay attention to him.
So
I used to love masks content. When I was a child. That's what I would just, my Halloween costume was just whatever was the coolest mask. What are you going as? A dying clown? Really? Why? Good mask. Favorite mask at the store. Did you see that? Yeah. Matt was into it.
It's the one equalizer. Halloween's a day that anyone can get some action. Everyone's equalized. And I think we should have Halloween more often. I really think we should dress up. I think it should be a once a month thing at least.
What other major holiday would you swap for another Halloween?
Oh, God.
Ready for mine?
So
you ready for mine? You're
going to
argue with it. No? Ready for mine? 4th of July.
That's an outrage.
He hates it. He hates it.
4th of July is awesome.
No.
Oh,
I feel like we could
really
still celebrate. We could celebrate the American independence with another Halloween type of, you know, another costume.
Okay, you're saying that we would still celebrate it, but we would just have costumes?
It would be the same as Halloween.
Look, the best holidays are the ones where you could do whatever you want and blame it on the holiday. And there's only a few of those. New Year's, 4th of July, because you say, if anybody says anything on the 4th of July, they don't like what you're doing, you can say one thing and shut them down. It's my country's birthday party, and I was invited. Okay? You can say that anytime. You can say anything. You're celebrating. Happy birthday, America. You can just yell that out and then pee on somebody. It doesn't make
any
difference.
I've seen a lot of shirtless men urinating yell, happy birthday, America.
Right. You have an excuse. You're like, I'm sorry. I'm a patriot. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
That's why I took a crap off a three-story building.
For me, also Easter. I find that Easter, I always am so drunk. I threw up on a kid last Easter. Not mine. Thank goodness.
You know, you need the holidays where we're expected to behave ourselves. Those are the ones that aren't any fun. A holiday should be a time to cut loose. So you got New Year's, 4th of July, Halloween, Labor Day, and Memorial Day. Those are the only good holidays.
I don't even know that Memorial Day is that great. I don't like these barbecue holidays.
Any three-day holiday.
A barbecue,
any three-day
I wish.
Weekend.
You go over to Spain or something, they have barbecues every weekend. Barbecue should be a way to eat together cheaply.
All right, then we could combine it. We swap out a holiday.
Swap out Memorial Day. But I don't even consider Memorial Day really that big of a holiday. What it represents, I think, is important.
You always end up having a good time and just as afterwards realizing you had a good time inadvertently. You do. Yeah. You do.
New Year's Eve also, I think, is not a great one.
That one, the expectations are too high. And
everything's so fucking expensive.
And as performers, it's not that fun to perform on New Year's. It's like amateur night. I'm going to move on because we got to get out of here pretty soon. We've really enjoyed ourselves, but we're going to move on to the maskers section where you ask the masters.
Can I just say to my Aunt Janice, okay, who is, you know, huge fan of the show, obviously, listens in every single time, just hearing this right now. Please, Aunt Janice, stop emailing. We realize that it should be Ask the Masters, that's Asters or whatever, but we think it doesn't sound good, so it's called Maskers.
It's called Maskers.
Thank you, Janice.
There's so much, like...
Enough, Aunt
so much anger.
Janice.
Yeah. Aunt Janice, put a sock in it.
Put
a sock in your mouth.
We're about to use our one punch card to give you
a knuckle sandwich, and then we'll let the judge decide. And I might even use my kick card on you.
There it is.
Yeah. We have a question from VANDCRLOW.
So if you had to make that a word, what would it be?
Ben Carillo.
You're the worst host.
I'm not the greatest host today. I'm a little bit beaten up. But what would be the last movie you'd watch before you drift off?
This is a good one.
And it says before you drift off this mortal plane.
Will be the last film I would watch for now. I'm tempted.
I think you would watch The Great Lebowski.
The Great Lebowski, which was the precursor to The Big Lebowski.
Which is actually the sequel to The Great Lebowski, made by the Great Ziegfeld. And you would watch it because then you'd be thankful that you were going to die.
I was going to die.
Yeah, I mean, that's one way to look at it. You know, you watch a movie you don't like as much.
It's got to be a movie. I think I would watch Yogi Bear 3D. And I would say, you know what? It was pretty good.
Yeah. Okay. That would make you feel good before you drift off into your mortal coil.
You'd think I would want to say The Sting with Robert Redford and Paul Newman. I love that movie. But I've seen that movie a lot.
That's the problem. Yeah.
It'd be nice. I feel very lucky that I could watch a movie that I was in that people thought was terrible or thought was great and just kind of be like, that was pretty good.
Good movie where there's, you know, a kind of a an afterlife type situation, you know?
Defending Your Life
would be one.
Heaven, Oh Heaven.
I was thinking Heaven Can Wait. That could be a good one.
What about the George Burns? Oh Heavens?
Oh God.
Oh God.
Oh God, My Devil?
Yeah.
Oh God.
See that?
My Devil. Can you imagine executives from that era being like, here's what it's called. Oh God, My Devil. Let's do this thing. Now let's chug scotch and eat cigars.
Oh God, you know.
Oh God, You Devil.
Yeah, I never saw that that little classic.
Oh God, My Devil.
Yeah.
My Devil. I really did in my mind and heart, I thought that was a real expression. My Devil, but it's My God.
Yeah.
My God. Oh God. My Devil. Oh Devil. We don't use devil enough exclamations, but also blasphemizing, but not blasphemy. What's it called?
Expletives.
Expletives,
yeah.
Devil. Devil's dick.
Yeah, we don't.
Oh, devil eggs.
Yeah.
Devil my fucking eggs, this asshole in front of me. Jesus Christ. You see this? You see this, Sharon? You see what this is? That's me yelling at my wife in the car. You see this, Sharon? See this idiot up here? He's got a devil's dick and fucking Satan's balls for eyebrows. Son of a bitch. It's fucking dark underlord of the 405 highway. God damn it. Oh, great. I said God again. Shit.
I think
Satan's forked dick.
Satan's forked penis. Yeah. I think I would watch something on an airplane. I always like movies better on an airplane because I'm also a little emotional. Like, I'll cry.
Yeah, I'll cry more on
any airplane movie. I think there's some kind of chemical reason for that. But, like, I cried during Uncle Buck. I'll never forget that. I'll cry during the worst.
I cried during Water for Elephants.
Yeah, like ice skating movies. Whatever it is, I'll cry.
I cry during the fasten your seatbelt. That whole message up front, safety message.
I'll cry on a lot of flights. Yeah. With whatever. So I would probably watch it. Whatever I watch.
Have you ever masturbated in the bathroom of an airplane?
Yeah. Arj Barker has a joke about that, my friend Arj. Something about how he was in the Mile High Club solo aviation division.
Well, I've never done that. I think that's disgusting and disrespectful.
I believe you have.
I'm sorry to hear that you did that because it makes us less friends.
It's sad that comedians aren't allowed to talk about airplanes because there's funny things that happen on them. You know, it's become this thing where people are like, don't talk about the flights. That's too. But stuff happens on airplanes that are funny to you. I mean, we fly a lot and it's hard not to talk about it. I just want to say I was flying during the Super Bowl and the captain kept giving us the score and I was TiVoing the game. This is the last Super Bowl. So I told the airline attendant, I'm like, can you tell him not to do that? And she's like, a lot of people want to know the score. I'm like, yeah, but a lot of us are TiVoing the game, and I'd prefer that the pilot not be watching sports in the cockpit.
Right.
You know, would we have Brent Musburger up there? Why not fly the plane? Like, why are they giving us the scores?
It's all on auto, and they're probably looking online. It's not the actual pilot.
Oh, I picture him up there watching.
But here's the problem.
Bets.
When you have turbulence, that's because his team scored. You know what I mean? Ladies, take a break. Seriously, take a fucking walk. Step outside, take a break, have a cigarette. Fellas, you know what I'm talking about. Would you fist fight an orangutan if you win, you make $200,000? Fist fight an orangutan. My opinion, I'll say first, my opinion is I have changed my opinion since I saw Rise of the Planet of the Apes. I saw that orangutans can be dangerous big animals. Would you fist fight one?
Did you have that option before you saw the movie? Then you watched
it? I did, and I ended up fighting and I lost. And then
really?
When I saw the movie, I was like, well, hindsight's 20/20, right? Ladies, come back inside. Enough of your break. You know what I'm talking about. Fellas, get the fuck out of the room. Go wait in the car, fellas. Take a break. Ladies, how was it outside? Is it still raining?
You know what? We're gonna shut things down with that. We can't top it. TJ Miller, it has been great having you as a guest.
This is so good. Thank you so much for having me.
Such a thrill to have you. Hopefully you can come back sometime.
Yeah, I mean,
where
I would
can
love
people,
to
like, if they like your work, where do you think they
you
can find
you? You can find me at tjmillerdoesnothaveawebsite.com for all my schedule and tour dates, because I'd love you to come and see me live when I do my stand-up spoofs. And then at Not TJ Miller is the Twitter. I'm on Facebook, Google+. Let's do the dang thing.
Yeah.
Stay off LinkedIn.
That's right.
Got that tattooed on my
LinkedIn. Get your aunt off.
Tattooed on my inner thighs.
Get your aunt off LinkedIn. She's been driving
Janice.
Me crazy.
Sick of Janice.
Late. Crazy bitch.
You know that? Well, that's a little far.
Yeah, I went too far.
She is family.
Yeah.
I was about to say.
You said we were going to use our punch card.
You know the place Janice Fund?
Yeah.
Janice Funds?
Yeah.
I say that's impossible. Janice has never had fun. But if you call her a bitch again.
Yeah. Then you'll get.
Guys? Well, answer the question.
Right in the keister.
Where can we find you?
CashLevy.com.
And
I'm on Facebook.
Would you fist fight an orangutan for $200,000?
I absolutely would not.
No way.
No.
$500,000.
No, there's no amount of money.
A million?
I don't think. I mean,
$5 million for your son's future.
No, I think that you end up getting really badly. Like, I don't. What's,
unless you get him.
No, you're not going to win with it. No.
How
you're not
going to
beat
that?
An orangutan.
What if you get a mace? Not a mace, huh? But mace.
No, you're not going to beat an. He's going to. You're going to lose an eye.
What if you spork him?
Huh?
Sporkum?
No, that was a previous podcast. They don't even know about that now. The no spork wouldn't work. No, there's no amount of money that would have me fighting an orangutan.
$100 million donated to the charity of your choice. And the charity can be Cash Sleeps with America.
How long is this? Yeah, that is a good one.
Ah!
You could get your penis pulled off from an orangutan. What are we talking here? Is it to the death? What is it?
You just got to fist fight him.
For how long?
You don't have to knock him over or anything. You just got to go over and get a couple of shots off. So you got to punch him in the face 4 or 5 times.
4 or 5 punches. You have to punch an orangutan 4 or 5 times, and you think you wouldn't lose an eye or some limbs?
I didn't say I would do it.
I think you're picturing a really out of shape orangutan.
Really?
Yeah.
Smoker?
Yeah. You're picturing like a zooed up orangutan that's been there for a long time.
Well, that's the only ones you get. Would we fly to the wild? You know how expensive that is?
That's how I was picturing it.
I guess we could use a portion of the $100 million that's going to the charities. Regardless.
Yeah. Well, we're going to ponder that some more and sign off.
That's one that we haven't been able to answer.
Yeah.
You know what? Some of the greatest questions continue going on unanswered.
And, you know, we're going to do some podcasts where we just readdress all of the same questions and give different answers, right?
Mm-hmm. Because there are only so many questions, but there are an infinite
amount of answers.
Amount of fruit,
yes.
Fruit flavors. What were you?
Flavors?
Now leaving Nerdist.com.